ngicela uhambe uyofuna umsebenzi.
Uzoyithola kanjani hlelo khoneni?
Yonke into, impahla, imali.
This adulting thing, hey.
Uhamba imali?
Wizi ngakayithoka chele.
Awuna moto? Imali. Fanele kube nemali phakathi.
Sebenza.
Sebenza. Sebenza.
Yaba mntanami.
Sebenza.
Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Hustle. It's Tango Ndwasa once again, and also Em is here sniffling, but my girl is here. Well, today we have an interesting guest, also discussing health, but not the kind of health you might be thinking. Pumlani, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, and how are you, Tango?
I'm great. So for those who might not know, now these are people probably born under a rock or someone who's not on Twitter as avid as some of us might be. Who is Pumlani? What does he do? And yeah.
Okay, so I'm a 28-year-old gay male, born and bred in the Eastern Cape. I have lived in Cape Town, and basically now I reside in Joburg, and what I do is I'm an advocate, outside of my 9-to-5, which I don't like getting into. So I'm an advocate in sexual health as well as mental health, particularly in the LGBTI community. And my main focus in sexual health is around educating people on PrEP, because I think it's something that we need to start having conversations about, and also just having knowledge on where to access this kind of wonder drug, which I call. So that's who I am. I'm a free spirit. I'm an open-minded person. I am someone who loves with a passion, who is passionate about a lot of things. And yeah, so that's me in a summary.
It's a long summary, and I like it in a summary.
I could go on.
And I feel like it's not over. Like, that's how I feel like it's really not over. Like, there's a lot more that he does.
Definitely. No, I could go on, man. Like, not just even just work wise, just in general, like about life experiences.
Yeah.
That basically have molded who I am, you know, so there's just a lot. But I mean, like, we obviously here to discuss the hustle. So the hustle is basically me trying to get people aware of the fun and educational ways in which they can have sex, particularly gay men. And I was actually having a discussion this morning around that, about how we don't talk about, you know, anal sex, to be frank. And we always talk about heterosexual sex. So reasoning behind all of me advocating is basically this whole idea that we need to start having conversations so that the younger generation is aware and isn't like how we were in the dark. So I'm just curious,
what sparked this in you to say, okay, no, I need to start talking about it more often and getting it out there with other people?
Exactly what I was saying now is that when I was growing up, I didn't have anyone that I could relate to, or anyone that I could actually speak to, because I couldn't go up to my mother and be like, oh my gosh, how do you, you know, have anal sex?
Yeah.
Because obviously she'd be like, number one, I don't know how, and number two, she'd be like, what the hell? So growing up, I didn't have those people I could relate to. There wasn't the internet. Yes, there was Mixit. There was Mix33 back in the day. But I mean, those chat rooms were just like wild. No one was actually educating or talking about ways in which you can protect yourself. And we were already having sex at a young age. So, I mean, I wanted to be that person for the younger me that I didn't have. So, which is why I ended up having to use the small influence that I have, because I figured, I was like, okay, people actually do follow me for things, because I was a promoter in Cape Town before I actually started, like, you know what, let me actually start advocating. So I was promoting nightclubs. So I saw that, okay, you know, people are actually listening. So people will come to the club, actually. People would actually...
I was about to ask a question. Are they listening in the nightclub?
No. As in, like...
as a promoter.
As in, like, they listening as a promoter. Come on.
I was
No, they're listening as a promoter. So they're listening to, like, what you're saying to them on social media, that, you know what, if I'm telling you tonight it's going to be a jump, it will be a jump. So I figured, you know what, like, I'm past that life stage, so what's next for me? And after varsity, that's when I was like, let me actually start talking about all these issues that we don't talk about in the gay community. Let me educate and also at the same time also learn, because I'm also learning a lot. Because I'm getting older, so I'm getting
like 30
by, and I'm 30 next year. So, so I basically just figured I needed to do that and be the voice for, the younger generation, and also allow them to have someone they can actually come and ask questions. And I do get questions. And funny enough, people are asking about, you know, like, what am I supposed to expect when I have anal sex for the first time? Or I just started dating someone, I'm in varsity. Because a lot of us, for example, you come from the Eastern Cape, the only time you actually get freedom is when you actually leave the province. And now you're in Cape Town, you haven't had, like, heard anything about anal sex, you don't know anything, no one told you anything, and then you get to Cape Town and now you're exposed to people who come from big cities, open minds, and they're already doing a lot of things and have been experimenting. So now what do you do? So you want to have someone who's going to educate you around that.
I mean, you know, there's a huge shift in terms of how information is sort of dispersed nowadays. I mean, for us, it's a little frightening because it's like, oh my gosh, where are we going to get end up in a way? But for everyone who's sort of taking it upon themselves like you are, technology is helping sort of grow that message. Do you feel that way? And is it exciting or is it kind of a scary thing?
For me, it's exciting because, I mean, like, we're evolving with the times. So we wouldn't be able to obviously write about sex the way we could now on social media if it was traditional platforms. So I'm happy about that we have these platforms now where we're able to actually access this information. Everyone is always on their phone. So why not use that platform that people are constantly using? Because what is the first thing that you do when you wake up in the morning?
My phone.
What do you check?
My WhatsApp messages.
After WhatsApp?
It's Twitter.
Exactly. So why not have
training?
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So why not have that conversation on those platforms? Mm. Because I mean, like, for example, WhatsApp is one that isn't utilized a lot. And for example, I take advantage of Instagram stories. I don't post a lot on my normal Instagram. Mm. So I'm always like on my stories because I've noticed that people actually pay more attention to stories than paying attention to what you post on your timeline. Mm. So you adapt with what you get. So with Twitter, I know that, you need to have thought provoking conversations. They need to be engaging. I can't just tell you that, oh, Tango, A, B, and C. I need to actually say A, B, and C and why.
Yeah.
And then so you can come back and be like, but how though? So that I can give you the why, the what, the when, the how.
The how,
you know?
Yeah.
So you have to evolve with the times. And I mean, like, every messaging needs to evolve with the time as well. Mm. And that's why I kind of, want to be the person that helps all these organizations, because a lot of them still have people that still think like it's early 2000 Y2K. So where we have to now, like, you know, still use traditional methods. Yes, those still work, but let's try different methods. Let's have conversations. We're having a podcast
now. Case up for everyone, you know.
We're on a podcast now. Who would have thought 10 years ago that we would be having something like a podcast now? Which is basically, for me, a similar concept to radio, because a lot of people now don't listen to radio in the cars, they actually listen to podcasts.
Mm.
So, you know, so you evolve with the times.
Nice.
That's pretty dope.
So, I would like to ask, especially when you're having like these talks, do you usually also like have workshops, with young gay people?
Not yet. So I've been only on the digital platform. So it's something that I've only like decided to do this year, because I also have a 9-to-5. So, I've gotten to that point where I actually feel like, okay, I've reached the ceiling when it comes to working for other people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm obviously going to try and get as much experience, exposure, because there's a lot that I learn at my 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
And also the access that I get at my 9-to-5 allows me to also be able to advocate properly. So, I mean, like, I'm looking into doing workshops. I've done workshops where I've been invited to come speak. Like, for example, I'm doing one in Cape Town sometime in October around mental health in the LGBT community. So I do attend workshops, but mostly workshops where I've been invited to come speak and, come share my knowledge.
Like that. All right, we're going to take a small break and we're going to crack into Pumlani's brain a little bit more right afterwards. So stay right there.
Tune in to Cargumentative every Monday morning on Times Live Motoring. You can join myself, Thomas Faulkner, and my regular gang of automotive misfits as we discuss motoring news, views, and of course, have a cargument or two. That's Cargumentative, only on Times Live Motoring.
Welcome back, guys. We're still with Pumlani. I'm loving this conversation. And I actually want to jump into something very interesting here. You know, it's a lot of the kids growing up, I get it with my nephews as well, they want to be like influencers. They want to use social media to talk about things. Would you advise that, especially for something that you're speaking about as well, where there's a need, but is there really money to put, you know, a roof over my head? Is there money to put food on the table with that?
There is. It's also about how you place yourself, because I think for me, my biggest advantage is that I also come from a PR background. So a lot of PR is about how you perceived by the public and how you basically show yourself to the public. So one of the big things for me, and I think my saving grace, was the fact that I was a promoter. So while I was promoting, I got to access a lot of people who have influence, and basically even they saw that, okay, this guy has his own influence. So you build a network like that. So by the time I was leaving varsity and coming to Joburg, I had a little bit of influence. I had access to people who had influence. And so I figured once I started talking about sexual health, people obviously going to start paying attention, because of the fact that some of the people that I engage with are also people that want to talk about these kind of things. So I would advise it if someone wants to do it. It's all about how you place yourself. So I would say that follow people that inspire you, follow people that actually talk about the topic you want to get into. So if you're into fashion, know your industry. It doesn't make sense that you're going to see, for example, I'm going to use Mihlali. You're going to see Mihlali and you want to mimic that. You find you what is unique to you, and then you basically make it work. So, excuse me, for me, I'm a sex positive person. So I talk about my escapades openly. I talk about...
So what to ask about sex positive?
No. Sex positive, it's basically how you are, you view sexual relations in a positive manner. So we know how society is. Society is sort of prudish when it comes to talking about sex. We've never had a sex discussion. I know that for a fact, as black folk, because our parents don't have a sex talk with us. The only thing they will ever say is, just know HIV kills, or if you get pregnant, I'm not looking after your child. That's the only sex talk you have. So, so it's, just put yourself out there and find someone who inspires you and learn your market that you want to get into. Because it doesn't help trying to mimic. Even it's going to show that it's not authentic. So, yeah.
I mean, we're all sitting here as millennials in the studio right now, and there's a lot of millennials who are parents at the moment. Do you feel that there's a shift in parenting in terms of talking about sex positivity?
There definitely is, because I think the one thing one thing that none of them are all ready for is that when your child comes back from school and says something and you're like, oh, I now have to have the talk. Because let's not forget, there's the issue of playground politics where kids learn things on the playground and they come back and tell you. So you also need to be ahead, and just see what is happening. So the one thing they always tell me is that they always try to find ways that are age appropriate to teach their kids about it. So for example, Dr. Cindy once did a thread on how she was like educating, children around sex, you know, and, I found that very interesting, because I was like, I hadn't thought that far. Like, how would I educate my child around sex? As much as I'm sex positive, what would I tell, for example, if I had a daughter, what would I say to them? And they maybe six and they come back and they're like, daddy, what is sex? You know, I can't use the bees and whatever story. So you have to be direct, you know. Yeah. So you find age appropriate ways, I guess. You find age appropriate ways, because if they're six, you're not going to be like talking about a penis and a vagina. You're going to want to elaborate in a way that they'd understand. Yeah, that it's something that we do as adults, for example. That's what mommy and daddy did in order for them to be able to get you. But also we need to not forget there's different ways now of having children. Mm. So it's everything is getting complicated as we're getting older. Let me just put it that way. So you just find age appropriate ways to explain sex to your child.
I love the fact that you actually spoke about parenting and stuff like that. And don't you think, like, in the future, not really even in the future, like, going further with what you're doing, it would be nice to also talk to parents about what if you have a gay child, you know? How you would also communicate with that gay child in terms of sex and stuff like that, because you cannot communicate to a gay child about, you know,
something you don't know.
Something you don't know. Mummy and daddy, you cannot. You have to have a way to say that, no, my child, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is happening. So how would you advocate for other people who are not part of the community, but for them to understand the community so that they don't judge, or when they do have kids and be like, this is how it happens. If you want to be part of that community, I'm not going to judge you, but this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that you need to know.
You actually just gave me an idea, because this is something I'd never thought about.
But thank you
for that. But I think, in all my advocating, what I've always been doing when it comes to educating people around LGBT issues is tell you the truth and be open and honest. So I've engaged with homophobes when other people are like, why are you wasting your time with them? Because I feel like end of the day, you want to have those conversations, those people understand their thinking, make them understand you, because at the end of the day, it doesn't help to say that we're wasting our time trying to educate people when there's information on the internet.
Exactly.
No one's going to read up on something they're not interested in. But if they meet me and we're having a conversation and then they're like, oh, okay, this is an interesting person. And we start talking, and then it comes to the topic of sexuality. Why not use that opportunity? So you've given me an idea, but if I had to be speaking to parents about that, I think I would actually want them to firstly understand the idea of identity politics, because I think that is the biggest issue in South Africa, is that we don't have an understanding of identity politics. And we see this in the way that people automatically assume when you're gay, you're literally going to be doing whatever, you know. I'm not going to, I was going to show you hand actions, but other people are not going to see, but other people are not going to see that it's pointless.
You need to be extra.
So they automatically, there's always the stereotype. So for example, so if you've become gay, they automatically think that you want to put on dresses, you want to act a certain way, you want to be a woman.
If you're a lesbian, you want to become a man.
So it's those kind of things that they don't understand, the identity politics in South Africa, and I think that's where we need to start. So I'd start by educating them around that, so you understand that, okay, if your child comes back to you and says, Mom, I'm gay, you want to be able to be like, okay, so are you top or are you bottom? Bless you. Are you top or are you bottom? So if you have that kind of understanding, it's at least then you'll be able to educate your child properly, because if they're bottom, then you know that, okay, I need to educate them more on, for example, douching. I need to educate them more on lubricants. I need to educate them more on, condoms. But if they say they're the top, you want to educate them more on condoms, and also even lube use, obviously. But it at least if you have that understanding around the politics in the gay community, then you would be able to give good sexual advice.
I want to jump back to the work that you do again, in terms of the growing an influence specifically. I mean, how does one do that, and how do you maintain it?
Dude, it's thing is, we've all seen how Twitter is now. I mean, like, it's a very volatile environment. Anything you say could easily trigger something. So what I usually do is, like I said, like, for me, I was lucky that I was in the promoter space, and I was able to build an influence from there. Mm. Because I mean, like, the first time I met Monanga was when she was still doing the Brutal Fruit thing. And it was like early
pre-champagne Monanga. I mean, that's a rarity.
Like,
right there.
Like, you know, like back in the day, like when she was still a Brutal Fruit ambassador, and they had a lot of Brutal Fruit events in Cape Town. Mm. So, for example, then I met her then, and ever since then we've had a good standing and a good relationship. And you know, like, so those kind of people that I met during that time have also helped and contributed to how I've basically grown a following on my social media. Because I mean, she's tweeted me and I've noticed that I've outgained some followers. Mm. And over the years, I'm sure people also saw our engagement, then outgrow, followers. But also it's not even like with Bonang only, like you also engage with other people. So you engage with other people on the platforms, because the one mistake that people make when they come on social media is think that being mean is going to get them followers. So a lot of the accounts now that have a lot of followers are the accounts that are basically putting up mean things, and they're putting up posts on people, you know, like the stereotypes. So that's what I've noticed lately on social media. So yeah, it's just about finding your niche. And then once you find your niche, you can have an influence in that niche, and you don't even need to have a lot of followers.
Mm.
And I think that's where the mistake is even me having 18,000 followers on Twitter doesn't mean anything. I can't influence people around fashion because I'm not a fashion person, but I'd be able to influence around sexual health because I'm in that niche market. I'm in that community where we talk about sexual health. So yeah, finding your market, influencing that one, you be pashash.
I hate that we have so little time for this podcast. Yeah. Deep in
maybe
there.
A part two
might just happen. Just to wrap up, let us know what are you doing in the next couple of months, and where can people find you?
Okay, so for now I've taken a break of social media. So I want to start writing again. My website has been deserted. Mm-hmm. Sahara. So I want to start posting weekly now on my website. So they can find me on my website at the moment. So it's pumlanikango.com. And Pumlani with an I, guys. I'm Xhosa, not Zulu. and I'm on Instagram as well. So it's Pumlani_Kango. And so for the next coming months, they can just basically just check my website and see. But I will be in Cape Town for the Rainbow Queer Festival, that will be taking place around the 10th of November, but I'll be in Cape Town the weekend of the 26th. So I'll be doing a talk on mental health there. And also I'll be doing a lot with Engage, the men's clinic coming soon. So just check out that. But I've already started like doing some advocating for people to actually check out their services. So I'm hoping that works out. And I'll be traveling also. So I won't be doing a lot of advocating, so I'll be traveling because of my 9-to-5. So yeah, for now, just check out my website and then you'll see, and I'll keep you updated.
And then one more thing. If there's like a young person out there that really would like to talk to you or really would want you to advise them on something, how can they get in touch with you?
So they can still go on my website. My email address is on there. So if they go on my website, send me an email.
It's quick with emails. I can confirm this.
Yeah, no, I've got my emails on my phone. I refresh my emails every 15 minutes. So they can send me a message and then we'll definitely have a chat around that. So I chat about anything, ask me openly. I even share my WhatsApp number sometimes with people, depending on what they need assistance with. So yeah, they can find my email address on my website, but if they need it, it's pumlani.kango@gmail.com. So it's my name and dot my surname @gmail.com.
Perfect. Pumlani, thanks again.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
So refreshing for what we usually do, but I loved it.
Thank you for having me. No, guys, it was great. One of my best interviews this year. Thank you.
Perfect.